Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Thank you, Dennis. And it is chaos and mayhem in this room, just like it was in round one of the AFL. You are listening to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barra, lots to get through, including the Tassie Devils. Surprise, surprise, surprise. But let's start by pulling apart West Coast's performance and Fremantle's performance at the weekend. West Coast, I thought, massacred in the air, but I thought the contest was pretty good. Nevertheless, it is still the biggest loss of the round, 50-point loss. Did you see some green shoots in there?
Green shoots, yeah, and we have changed our aspect of the way we look at them, don't we? We're not looking at results or wins or losses or even margins to a certain extent. If it gets over 100, you're going to be a bit weird about it. But the bookies are pretty good, aren't they? Would they say it was going to be 48 points and turned out to be 50?
Yeah.
They're pretty good at picking the spread. Yeah, on the news last night on 7 News that Adam Simpson revealed that Andrew Gaff has to go out. He has to go back to the Waffle to find some form, which is kind of predictable. And that must have been a painful decision for him. After all, pre-season whacked him in first game and 4 possessions. Watching the game, I could see it almost looked like, and I'm saying this with all due respect, it almost looked like the game had gone past him in terms of that small midfielder role that he plays out on the wing, sort of outlet pass, that sort of stuff. There just isn't that role anymore. You can't play that position that he plays and the style that he plays. And I think he was on Travis Boak as well. Maybe he was trying to be a bit of a cooler on him, which he did a pretty good job if that was the case because he didn't dominate. But they subbed him out early and the writing was on the wall. Geez, what do? Give him one more week or do we just send him back to the Waffle now? And on the news, I thought it was pretty interesting. On a Monday night, they've already decided without having a selection meeting that Andrew Gaff would be out. So that's a pretty big statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was curious, Adam Simpson speaking at the weekend, that Gaff had deserved his position in the side. Well, I must have been watching a different preseason because with the greatest respect to Andrew Gaff, who in his day played that role better than anyone, but I didn't see that he warranted his selection for round one. I thought Campbell Chesser, when he came on, gave them something. I thought actually Chesser gave them something in that Adelaide preseason game as well. So I think I would have flipped those. I would have had Gaff. I think Gaff's almost the perfect sub. You come in late in a game and you can use your experience in goal.
Could be. But there's no point, is there?
No, there isn't.
You know, you're not there to win games, so why have a great sub? Unless he's going to coach, but he can coach back in the Waffle, I suppose, coach the kids in the Waffle. Had a look at them play against the Demons. We had a very, very young side in. We rested like 12 of our best players. And they did okay. Clay Hall played. Jermaine Jones was pretty good. You know, the Harry Barnett was good in the ruck. So they've got a bit back there. I don't know who comes in for Gaff, but must have been a...
Well, you start with Chesser. So he's not the sub.
Obviously Chesser. So someone comes in. If he's going out of the team, you've got to put someone in, don't you? So I think Clay Hall looked like he wasn't far away. So they're obviously decided, you know what, we're in development mode. There's no use playing Gaffy if we're going to try to develop the team. And I'm a bit flat about it too because, you know, like back in 2018 when he whacked Brayshaw, he got those 7 or 8 weeks. He misses the premiership. Paid a massive price, didn't he? Played a massive price.
He did.
Let's be honest.
He did.
And he isn't that sort of player. It was just, one of those ones where you just hit
unlucky
someone.
Punch, and he deserved the suspension.
Oh, yeah, no argument there.
There was no malice in it. I think we all accept that. It was one of those really sad footy stories, that he, as was Nick Natanui's as well.
Yeah, well, the other sadness about it was 12 days later.
And Brad Shepherd, I might add.
Yeah, Brad Shepherd, yeah, and end up with concussion. Nick never played again much either. So they were almost cursed, those three. But hang on, just let me finish. So 12 days after he did that, his dad nearly died.
Yeah.
And was on his deathbed, basically, in hospital in Melbourne. His dad was worried that he thought that maybe Andrew thought that he had the heart attack because of what happened to him with Brayshaw, but it turned out he's a tennis coach over there. It turned out he had this real heart problem that they hadn't detected. So he had to learn to walk again and everything. So North Melbourne came knocking, offered him, I think it was like $8 million to go and, well, 7-year contract, go and join North Melbourne. And he spoke to the club and they said they wanted him to stay. And he thought, you know what? I missed the premiership. I stuffed up with Brayshaw. You know, maybe I should do the right thing. And he remained loyal when he could have gone home and helped his dad learn to walk again, all that sort of stuff. So it's that's why it was such a powerful, painful, poignant moment when Simo had to tell Gaffey that, but we're dropping you, mate. But he thinks he'll come back. But which I'm
doubtful. Nice bit of alliteration there from you too. Petrocelli, 3 goals. He's started the year well.
Got a coach's vote.
He did indeed. He was the only player to get a coach's vote from that team. He got the one vote. But I thought the good news for them was Yeo stood up. McGovern took a big go. How tough's Butters, by the way? My goodness, he's a tough boy. But McGovern copped an early hit, stayed out there. That was important. I thought Bailey Williams was really stoic all day. I mean, he was up against it again. He preferred to be playing forward line. So I thought Bailey Williams was good. And look, we saw Harley Reid's debut. 8 possessions in the first quarter. I think we'll see. He was part of chains, really, wasn't he? When he's on the end of those chains, when he gets his sort of foot in the door a bit more, he's going to be, you can see.
Mate, he's a great player.
Yeah, you can see that.
You must be
You've been carrying on all weekend,
No, but you must be thinking about that.
Well,
he is.
You're calling him Judd-esque.
No, because I went back and do my research as I do, and I checked that Chris Judd's possession rate in his first year. And very, very similar. Mm-hmm. Very similar to what...
You're not comparing the two already.
Oh, mate, it's around 16. He had 16. That's what Juddy would do in his first year. I had a look at some of the games. He looks a little bit more like Cousins than Judd, really, because Judd had that unbelievable pace. So probably he's a bit of a combo of both. But, mate, he is first class. He's one of their best players already.
Yeah.
And if he's not in the running for the NAB Rising Star, I'm right here. I saw that Riley, what's-his-face from the Bulldogs, got subbed.
Yep.
Wardlaw.
Jeez, McKercher looked good, though.
McKercher's another
good
one, yeah.
Wardlaw
yeah
was a bit quiet.
Wardlaw was quiet.
He's my tip,
but
yeah.
Harley, and they pushed, he only played part of the game, and they pushed him forward. I knew they were going to push him forward. They're doing the Cuzzy scenario. But you have a look at these stats in that game. The Eagles were dominated in possession. It led to a huge discrepancy.
How were the marks?
Negative 65 disposal differential, negative 59 uncontested possessions, negative 44 uncontested marks.
Yeah, they were killed in the air.
And Bauer had 40 scoring shots, so they kind of dodged a bullet.
What did you make of Jack Darling's game? I know Port look a lot better, don't they, with Radaglia and Zirk Thatcher back there, by the way. They've really addressed that problem. Good on them.
Do we go after JD now, you reckon?
Well, I'm not. Well,
you think JD should be playing?
I thought it was a really hard forward line to be a part of. And Oscar, I think, still had a few effects from that gastro he'd had.
He must have.
Clearly. But
he didn't kick a goal.
It's going to be a better forward line when the ruckman's down, when Bailey Williams is down in that forward line. It's going to help Allen. It's going to help Darling. But right now, I just thought Jack's effort was a little lackluster.
Yeah. So what's your thinking there? Do they keep him?
Well, you've got to keep him in for structure. You have to. I mean, what you really do? Well, who else are you putting in there, mate?
Is Williams, Jack Williams,
well,
Harry Barnett?
It's a lot to ask.
Jameson
key
was playing
key forward post. You know, it's tough down there.
I don't know. They don't really have a key forward that they can just slot in. But JD, the ball wasn't in there a lot, I suppose. But yeah.
And by the way, it's not
Oscar
going
struggled
after him.
Oscar
it's,
struggled.
It's looking at the game objectively.
No, when I say go after, I mean they're turning the wheel.
Yeah.
So the balance is how many of these senior blokes do we keep?
Probably keep Yeo. Well, you've got to keep some. Well, Yeo was pretty good.
I thought Barras got pantsed.
Yeah, he did.
Charlie's come in underdone and
early. Early when
when Charlie got tired, he came back into it. Yeah. But Tommy's, he's not the same player. I don't know what's going on there.
Is it his back?
Something's going on.
I don't
on.
Want to make excuses. You're out there. But, look, I thought contest-wise, you walk away from that. I don't think Eagles fans are going to put up with 50-point losses every week either, mate, by the way, because your patience wears a bit thin.
You have to get used to
but
it.
But I think early days, the other thing I'll say is it's almost the best time to get Port, I reckon, round one at home, when they're not quite synced and gelled. Do you know what I mean? It's almost you wouldn't want to get them like round 10. When they've had a time
flying.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Look, I thought...
Mate, when's a good time to get the Giants?
Oh, well, we'll talk about them in a little while. We'll move on.
That's who the Eagles are playing this Sunday.
Let's move on.
You know what they're doing Sunday as well? They're loading up. They're loading up the Eagles because they know, whoa, we are going to get pumped here.
So Shannon Hearn, Nick Natanui, and Luke Shuey, farewell.
Yeah, doing the lap of honour.
Good. They got great careers.
They got the second generation Eagles playing a game before. So Benny Cousins is playing.
Oh yeah.
You know, Matt Pritis, Spatty with Bobby, and Angelique, his daughter, will be out there. Matty Pritis. I've got the list of the blokes here.
That's all right. You've reeled
off. It's quite
comprehensive. You're not out there.
No, because my son's he's playing. Who we got here? Dwayne Lamb, Brett Hedy, Michael Braun, Adam Selwood, Andrew Embley, Drew Banfield and his youngest, Mark Lacroix and his kids, Sam Butler and his kids, Quinton Lynch, David Wirrapanda, Phil Matera, Scotty Cummings.
Bit of talent out
there. I'm thinking of doing a CPR course just in case.
Surely they're camping Scotty at full forward. That's where he played.
I reckon they might need an ambulance on standby too, the big fella. And the banner's back as well. So they're throwing everything at
it. Hallelujah.
To get a few people in there.
Are they going to reintroduce the old song? we'll have to wait a while, I think. I don't think we're singing it on Sunday.
You see Pikey do that presentation to all the members yesterday as well, like urging them to get along. They must be real worried about the crowd Sunday.
To be fair, Eagles crowd, they've showed up, haven't they, throughout all of this? I mean, the crowds have been pretty good. So
I think the Giants pull nobody. You know what I mean? That's the problem.
Yeah, they do.
It's not like you're playing Essendon or Collingwood.
You're going along, aren't you? I mean, it depends what you want out of the game. You don't. Yeah. You're not after a W.
Beers?
You want a competitive performance.
Shut the curtains.
Yeah, all of that.
You know, you're in the. Could you shut the curtains at halftime in your super box?
I don't think you can
put
do that.
Disco on.
You can do that at RAC.
Turn the lights out.
You can do it at RAC.
Start dancing.
Yeah, you can't do it at Optus, mate.
Mates, it used to be. Who was a really bad side? Fitzroy, I think they used to say that they. You know, they do that. They just shut the curtains and have a disco. And what did Sam Newman say? If they were playing in my backyard, I wouldn't even go out there.
Now, let's get on to Fremantle. There were a few coaches' votes here. 10 to Caleb Sarong with a Frio disposals record of 46. 7 to Luke Ryan and Luke Jackson. 2 to Andy Brayshaw and Alex Pearce. And 1 to Josh Tracy, who I thought was terrific in the forward line. What do you think of the Frio show, firstly, Barra? The Akadaka element to it, celebrating the 50th year that Bon Scott joined ACDC. Of course, they've got the historical roots there. He had his formative years in Frio after arriving from Scotland. So they rolled out an Akadaka number after the goals. And I'll tell you what, 5-6 minutes in, I thought it's going to be a bit of a quiet day here.
I wasn't worried. Were you worried?
Well, two of them were free kicks. If you take those away, they're down.
Johnson punches through, free kick, and then Young does the 50.
I wasn't worried. I thought...
Yeah, there was a little bit of a doubt, wasn't there? Oh, no, it's not like last year,
because you're
it?
Giving Brisbane a sniff here.
Yeah.
And two of them were free, so...
They're not good. They're not that good, Brisbane, are they?
At the moment, they're not.
But they're just...
Well, I thought they
were... Where's the excitement?
Well, they missed Lachie Neal.
Kitty's gone.
The extractor.
McKenna's injured again.
Coleman's loss was evident at the weekend. But what I thought was really poor from them was their forward line work. There was the second efforts. There was no defensive work there at all.
Well, Charlie Cameron. What was wrong with Charlie?
I don't know, but Jordan Clark was on him, but...
Jordan towed him.
Yeah, and their ground ball differential was massively in favour of Frio with their defensive work. So well done to Frio. Caleb Sarong, what a great performance. Luke Jackson in the ruck. Do they look a better side with Luke Jackson than Sean Darcy?
Mate, they look better when he pushes forward too.
Mm.
And, mate, he got his pants pulled down, Chris Fagan. Justin Longmuir pulled Chris Fagan's pants down in coaching sense. In the team selection... The fact that he got Brennan Cox and sent him forward and did what
they played sort of a defensive role forward, didn't he?
Yeah, like Collingwood.
On Harris Andrews.
Yeah, like Collingwood did to Harris Andrews as well.
Yep.
Billy Frampton had that job. Remember, he had two possessions, but his job was just to sit on Harris Andrews and made sure that he couldn't go, you know, drop back and sort of get into the space.
Yep.
And so that allowed Josh Tracy, who had probably his best game for the club, and also Jai Amos to kick three each. They were spectacular, weren't they? And didn't you think Tracy was good?
I thought he was really good.
He was like a machine coming through. He was frightening.
It was. And that's the thing he has to do. If he's not kicking goals, and he did kick goals, but if he's not, he just has to impact the contest. We saw a good assist from him as well at the weekend. So him and Amos, it's a really good combination. If you can add Jackson to it.
Oh, but that's what I was going to say. Sorry, now you've triggered me. So when he pushed forward, and Oscar, what's their ruckman's name?
McInerney.
Oscar McInerney had to go with him. He couldn't go with him. He just, when he was deep, super
deep. He's a beast,
deep,
isn't he?
And he just took those two grabs in front of goal. Mate, how bad, and Fagan just sitting on his hands doing stuff all about it. I couldn't believe
it. I'm not sure if he could do much about it the way it was.
Well, there's got to be a better thing than you just go down there with him and see how you go.
Yeah.
You can't go with Luke Jackson in the forward line like that.
So I'm watching the game and I'm thinking, geez, this is a really good turnaround. Well done, Freo. And then, of course, the carnage begins. We see Warner, for starters, you know, courageously going. Both players, by the way, Lincoln McCarthy and Carl Warner going back with eyes stiffly. Only for the footy. So unfortunate for him. He's now in concussion protocols. He'll be out this week, certainly. And then, of course, Oscar McInerney, I just felt for him. He's played, you know, two and a bit quarters for the club and had done a bloody good job both at the weekend and during the pre-season. I thought, geez, this is a really good pickup by Freo.
And allowed Brendan Cox to go forward.
You see that hyperextension, which you just look away, don't you? You can't watch it.
They think ACL, but we haven't heard yet because there's something going on in his knee there. But he's in a big brace, isn't he?
And then, of course, Brendan Cox. As soon as you grip high on that hammy, you know, this is not good. So we know now surgery, so it's 12 weeks.
I was amazed that Longmuir said last night, 12 to 15 weeks.
Like that he's coming back. No, it's a big... When
12 to 15
surgery
weeks.
On a hammy, mate.
That is massive.
Yep.
So he's gone.
So what are they going to do now? So structurally, so obviously McDonald's out, Cox goes back into defence, but they're both out now. So what are they going to do? Who are their options? Is it a time?
Well, Pierce is spectacular.
He had a great game.
So he'll go to Larky this week, who's a super player. Yep. So Pierce v Larky is going to be brilliant.
Who gets Zerha?
And, well, the other their centre-half forward is Coleman Jones, 200 centimetres. So that probably means Luke Ryan has to give away 14 centimetres and maybe go to him.
Do you bring in someone like a Josh Draper?
Yeah, well, he's 197. Yep. I really rate him. It's a massive call. And this Coleman Jones, he's not super, so maybe Draper, I don't know. Hugh Davies is the other one. They probably need – it makes a case for Hayden Young to push back and maybe play tall.
Jeez, he was good in the
on
midfield.
Zerha or someone like
he
that.
He was good in the midfield. I like the mix, by the way.
Because they sent Ethan Hughes back, and he had to play tall.
Are they?
And that does worry me.
Well, he's going to have to go back.
Yeah. He's not ideal.
I like the midfield mix was good too. Fife, particularly, about midway through that first quarter, he started extracting. And don't they look a better side when he's in tight, getting those handballs out?
He doesn't look like Fife, though, does he?
I reckon he looks more comfortable.
He doesn't look like...
Yeah, but he's not. He's four or five years older.
I know, you got to adjust, and it's a bit like Gaff doesn't look like Gaff. Fifey doesn't look like Fife.
He's not a forward bearer. He's a midfield.
And the game
ball.
Is so quick. So quick. And Fifey's not quick. The kings of the chaos ball, Sid and E, mate, Chad Warner's going to tell them all.
Yeah.
Mate, those guys are unbelievable,
We'll get to them in a moment.
And the young guys are where the game's at now, isn't it? And that's, you sort of need Fifey in there for a bit of bullocking and that, but it's not, the guys that win the games is not him.
It's not all about foot speed, though. It's ball movement. You can be quick with your ball movement, but you do need some pace.
But if you can't do that chaos stuff now.
That's the one area of Freo in that midfield. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, you know those little handballs they cut through, that sort of thing? The Eagles can't do it at all. Harley Reid's about the only one who knows how to do it. Kelly did it for the first half.
Yeah, he's okay.
He just gets it on the boot, kicks it long. Kelly is not bad at it. But then in the second half, he went missing, didn't he? TK. What happened to him? Did he sulk? Was he sulking?
No, he wasn't sulking. I think Port were started to get on top. And they looked like they were going to pull away to a really ugly win, actually. But it was not, I don't know. It's a bit halfway each, isn't it, that result, 50 points?
50 points.
Anyway, back to Freo.
Hey, just get me on Sarong here. 46 disposals.
Yes.
Mate, he is a genuine star of the AFL now. Broke the Fremantle Club record.
Yep.
Was held by Belly and David Mundy. I would have thought Mickey Barlow would have got close to 46, wouldn't he? The last handball he gave took him past Maney at the Wacker in 1990. He got 45. And Steve Malaxos still holds the record.
Stavros.
Remember, he had 48 and two goals.
Stavros, what a great man.
In that game against St Kilda.
Yeah, I still see Stavros a bit, coach of the Scotch footy team and cricket team.
Four straight PSA.
Yeah, I see him down there often.
Mate, he's a genius. And failed to get a single Brownlow vote for 48 and two goals against St Kilda.
Is that right?
We pumped him. Well, I've told you this, remember? We pumped him by 88 points.
Yeah.
And guess who got three votes?
Who?
You know the story.
Who got the three?
I don't.
You
don't play dumb.
You?
Mate, can you... People at home laughing their heads off here. He didn't get a vote. I got three. Glendinning got two.
How many? What were your possession? What were your stats?
I kicked four. But
did you?
And had blonde hair and a mullet. But the funny bit is, Stabber's mate, Stabber's man, Greg Burns, got a vote.
Oh, no. Fair play, Greg Burns.
So Stabber's had 48 and two, and they've given three to Barrich just because got blonde hair and kicked four goals. Glendinning, superstar. And Greg Burns, one vote. And we won by 88 points at Subi in front of 17,000, last game of the year.
Let's look at some other games, mate. Before we do that, let's just talk quickly about the Tassie Devils. So no great surprise there. It's going to be interesting. There's a state election on Saturday. Rockliff, the Premier, and the Liberal Party, if they get in...
Can't do anything. That's what'll happen.
Well, no, if they get in with a majority. Well,
that's why it's so clever that they've done this before the election.
Of course.
Because they can't roll it back now.
No.
Imagine, they won't get elected.
If they get in with a majority, then it's a statement.
All they can do is balls up the stadium.
Well, 75,000 people have bought $10 memberships. And I know a lot of people around Australia are buying them, but that's a pretty good statement already. So let's see. But if Labor gets in, or if it's not a majority, then they've got a few issues with Macquarie Point, obviously. So as it stands now, they're in 2028. First year, they'll be playing in Hobart and Launceston in the two venues that already exist. And thereafter that, they're playing at the new roofed stadium. Now, every year, there isn't a stadium. They get penalised. Was it 4.5 mil? Is that right?
Is that
by
right?
The AFL?
Yeah,
so
is, yeah.
Let's... You know, my argument here is that just build it. It's Macquarie Point. Come on. It's a disused area. It's a sewage plant.
They've trumped them by just going early. Mate, I researched. Did you know that Hobart and Launceston, and it's not a lot of people call it Launceston.
No, it's Launceston.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I got towed up by a taxi driver saying that.
For calling Launceston.
I've never looked back.
Because you're from Lawn. You're from Victoria.
Yeah, that's it.
It's Launceston, mate. No, it's Launceston. Anyway, did you know that there's a massive rivalry between Hobart and Launceston?
Oh, please. Of course.
I didn't realise
how. North and South. It's huge.
I didn't realise how. They've even got their own beers.
Yeah. Cascade and...
In the south, Cascade and...
And Bogues.
Bogues in the north.
Both really good drops too.
They've both got their own newspaper, the Mercury in the
and
south.
The Examiner.
In the Examiner. And in 1959, the two mayors of these towns buried the hatchet symbolically. They actually got two hatchets and buried them and said, we're going to bury the hatchet between
them. It didn't work.
And in 2012... Two mayors dug them up and said, "Nah, we're starting this again. The rivalry's back." So and you know, how's this? Even their maximum security prison called Risdon, they separate the northern and southern inmates.
Do they really?
They keep them,
is that right?
They keep them separate, like north and south of the river. And remember the Iron Curtain?
Yeah.
They reckon Tassie's got a flannelette curtain between the two.
Well, you know,
as Bougainvillea
there's nothing like an AFL team to bring warring parties together. So, hopefully, this can act as a sort of a beacon for them, so they can.
But the stadium ends up being in Hobart, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's not that bad. It's a nice little drive.
You're right, though. Two best things to come out of Launceston.
Launceston. Okay, so the north. I'm going to say Alex Pearce and Colin Robertson from the north.
David Boone.
Yeah.
And the road to Hobart.
There goes another rib.
And
Ricky Ponting from down south, of course, from Hobart.
Yeah. And you know how we were cracking gags about how they had to have a foundation membership because they didn't want anyone buying family passes. Just one or two family passes and that's it.
So
anyway, just let me tell you about
I love Tassie, mate. Get off their case.
The two heads anecdote.
Yes.
You know how we call them two heads?
Well, I don't.
Well, a lot of people do.
I call them fine Australians.
And why do they call them two heads?
Well, because I'm not going to answer that.
Because if you marry your sister and all that sort of stuff, things happen. But so apparently that started, the two heads thing started in World War One.
Is that right?
When all the Aussies finally got together to fight together. And apparently the Tasmanian people, who were soldiers, they brought two pillows. They did. That's not a joke. They were requesting two pillows for their bunks.
Where'd you find that?
That's the plausible explanation.
No, it's,
and the
it's
other
not.
One is the state's iodine deficiency problem.
Really?
Have you heard of this?
No.
iodine is essential for the prevention of goiters. You know those goiters?
Yes.
The condition where you get that huge growth on your neck.
It
says here, involving the enlargement of the thyroid gland, right? Causing the neck to swell to unsettling proportions, giving the impression of a second head.
Is that right? An iodine deficiency.
And there's not much iodine in Tasmania.
I'm suggesting.
It's written here.
So you get an AFL, build a sparkling new stadium. You can address your iodine deficiency, Tasmania. And there'll be
they've
no goiters.
They've cleared it up now. They've put it in the water and the toothpaste and everything. They've cleared it up.
Years.
They've cleared it up. No goiters.
It's a goiter-free zone. Now, Brendan Gale, the hot tip to be the CEO. They've got a temporary CEO in there at the moment. So the only thing I'll add is there's going to be a heap of draft concessions in the lead-up to this team. They're going to have access to elite junior talent. You want to get your list in order, Barra. Mm-hmm. All the other existing teams want to get your list in order by the time they come around because it's going to be a hard road from that point. Now, Barra, before we get into the other games, I just want to talk about our fantastic game tipping Jim Kidd giveaway. Thanks to everyone who signed up to the Games Quarters and Barra Tipping Competition. 150 members, Barra.
150 members.
So
fantastic.
The two winners of our Burley footy signed by Ben Cousins are Darren Hepburn and Joshua Bedgood. Well done. We will be in touch to arrange you how you collect your prize.
So can I just repeat that? Mm-hmm. So Darren Hepburn and Josh Bedgood have won a Jim Kidd's footy signed by Ben Cousins.
That's it.
On behalf of us.
On behalf
of us. Fantastic, guys.
The weekly tipping competition winner, no prize, just bagging right, sorry, Jonathan Cornelius, but 9 correct, a fantastic effort.
But he would normally get, isn't there a prize for a week? Isn't there a weekly prize? But
overall comp.
Yeah, so our was 9's pretty good.
We're going to organise a prize for the overall. We absolutely have a prize for the end of the season. You have to have one. And the winner so far, or the overall leader so far, is Wayne Culverwell, who has 11 correct with the margin of 19. I didn't go so well, Barra. Had a lot of faith in... I'll tell you what.
Oh, mate, you're
Richmond,
very
Carlton,
brave.
How stiff was I?
Very brave.
2 down and they lost by less than a kick. And everyone's bagging me.
3 massive injuries.
Everyone was...
Mate, you were,
you were bagging me.
I bagged you on the show, but once I saw the game, I thought, shit, he's onto something there. And then they lost the bloke with the hammy in the midfield, and they just kept going down like flies, didn't they?
Well, you know, you don't. The unfortunate thing, there's no asterisk there. You don't get half a point for getting close, mate.
That's, no, it was very brave, mate.
So I only got 5. I picked my Hawks too. They were a bit disappointing.
Mate, how could you go the Hawks?
Everyone's carrying on about Essendon. They won by 4 goals, and Hawthorn kicked inaccurately. So I'm not, you know. Just steady on. 7 to you.
Richmond only won by 5 points.
You happy with that?
So Prestia, I'm talking about Richmond only lost
by 5 points.
Prestia did his hammy. Gibkiss, mate, that poor bloke.
Yeah.
You know his dad played for East Perth?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So ACL coming off a really bad, was it a hammy he had last year? Anyway, he missed last year as well, so really unfortunate for him.
Oh, no, hang on. Goiter.
Yes.
Is it Goiter?
Yes.
Goiter?
Yes.
You know Goiter?
I do.
I'll say it again. Goiter?
Yes.
From North Melbourne. His dad played for East Perth, sorry. And Gibkiss, you're right, he missed most of last year and now done his knee. And then Young got concussed. So that was a very good effort with Richmond, mate.
Yeah, well done to you for getting 7 correct. So, look, we'll have an overall tipster at the end of the year, as I said. Let's talk about a few of the games. Collingwood. Sydney pulled them apart, mate. I think there's some concerns for Collingwood. And it's only 2 in. And interestingly, both grand finalists are zipping 2.
Happened before?
No.
And that almost certainly means one of them won't make finals.
Oh, I don't think it's going to mean they're not going to make finals. I think
statistically, apparently, that's what happens.
Does it? Well, yeah. I'm going to say statistically they'll be proven incorrect. I think they play finals.
Thursday night they play St Kilda.
Have teams worked... Has Sydney
now
shown...
you've got a theory. Just give me a theory again.
Well, no,
I liked it.
Sydney.
I didn't understand it, but I liked it.
Oh, well, just their pressure there. They played
what
a
did they do?
High pressure. So what they did is their defenders got up high on Collingwood. So how did Collingwood score? Collingwood score by their from their change from defence, right?
Because
their defence is so well organised.
Which is a bit dodgy.
And they come, they've changed the angles. And so what they're doing is they're strangling that Collingwood defence so they can't find ways out. Well, they sit high up the ground.
Yeah, I know how it works, but Nick Dacos had 37 possessions.
Yeah, but he's more of a midfielder.
15 contested, 7 clearances.
So Quayner
didn't seem to have an effect on the game.
So Quayner was the one. So they had Fox back there, and Quayner really didn't have much impact at all. So they've got to find a way, Collingwood, to work out. That was their main avenue of scoring last year, right? They score from those defensive chains. So they have to find a way to punch through now. Now, Sydney's so well organised behind the footy, right?
Oh, mate.
And other teams aren't going to be so well organised. So they'll be able to find ways. But against the real elite teams, they've had a look now. This is how you beat Collingwood. So
At the G.
This is the great thing about footy, Barra. You find ways to combat coaching strategies.
Do you reckon it's a bit of it's got to do with how early the season started as well and how short Collingwood's preparation was, and Brisbane's, by the way.
Sydney played finals as well.
Yeah, but no, you know, they had the shortest preparation.
I think
they celebrated.
You know what I reckon? I think it's more to do with...
it's like a hangover. It's premiership hangover a little bit.
Yeah.
What about looking at videos of themselves and all that? Did you see that when they were doing that?
Everyone does
that. Lee Matthews had a crack at them and said... He wouldn't let his boys do it.
But they do that every year now.
Revel in it.
They do that every year.
Mate, Lee Matthews said, mate. Are you contradicting
Lee
Matthews?
No, I'm certainly not.
Jeez, mate.
No Nathan Murphy in defence, I reckon, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, massive.
So
massive.
That's ongoing over concussion issues. So I reckon he, structurally, it's really difficult for Collingwood without him there. So I think it's a real concern for them. I think they miss McStay in attack too. I know he didn't play in the grand final, but I just think he straightens them up in the forward line. I thought their forward... I mean, they had Lachie Schultz playing up high in the midfield at one point because they just couldn't get...
Dockers people very happy with Lachie Schultz's performance.
Oh, Lachie's been pretty good so far this preseason. I think he's...
They're very happy with his performance in that game.
Oh, you reckon they were bagging
him? He did shit. He did shit.
Oh, he wasn't that bad. He wasn't
the worst. Mate, he did nothing. In fact, he almost got subbed.
By the way, Sydney...
Ask the Dockers people.
We've got to give Sydney a bit of credit, mate. What a great start to the year. How good's Isaac Heaney been?
He has been brilliant.
So do you keep him in the midfield when Mills comes back and Parker comes back and
got to keep him in there.
Taylor Adams comes back and
he's got to stay in there.
Jeez, he's been good, hasn't he?
He's really answered his critics. Collingwood conceded 78 points off turnover after averaging just 40 per game last year.
Yeah,
so that's it's what you're saying, and they're being Ash Johnson. Mate, he's going to get dropped, isn't he, our man, Jono? He's from Perth, Western Australia, isn't he, Ash Johnson?
Ash Johnson.
I think he's from the bush.
I don't know
Halls
if you
Creek.
Can drop him at the moment.
He's out, mate. He's a living certain. He had 3 disposals.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
And I'll tell you who else was flat. Steele's side bottom, Brodie Mychek.
Yep.
Jack Crisp didn't look the same.
No.
Jeremy Howe looked underdone.
But this is all...
And even Joshy Dacos.
But I agree with you. But this is how well Sydney played in strangling that defence. So well done to Logan McDonald, 4 goals. He started the year well. Chad Warner, 3. From a midfield role, and he's exploded into this season as well. You know, they look really good at this stage, Sydney. They're very well. Better than I thought they'd be at this point.
Who are the premiership favourites?
Both from Sydney, mate. Sydney and GWS.
Which one are you going? Which way would you like
I'm
to
going
be on?
GWS at the moment. Another 6 goals from Jesse Hogan has started the season really well. Tom Green's just a genius. The usuals, you know, Lachie Whitfield off halfback, Coniglio. Geez, he breaks tackles well, Coniglio, doesn't he? Gets the ball out. Just so well organised, GWS. And I think, unfortunately for the Eagles, they're coming here Sunday for the Optus Stadium clash at 3:50 on Sunday, arvo. I reckon GWS Sydney, at the moment, the ladder tells us they're 1 and 2. But I think GWS is the team to beat, and with Sydney really close behind them.
You didn't mention Logan McDonald.
I did. Confident
boosting 4 goals.
Yeah, I mentioned
him. You mentioned him, did you? Mm-hmm. From 15 disposals.
Yeah, good Perth lad.
And you mentioned Goulden and the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, okay, so you're going the Giants over them.
Well, it's a bit early to be picking a flag favourite, but...
I was talking to... Who was I talking to? And they were telling me about Jesse Hogan.
Yep.
And how he's just completely transformed himself. And he's been working with Cam Mooney? And he basically works on aggression with him as well and attacking the ball, body work, timing, technique, and he booted 6. He's in career best form.
Let's talk up my...
The Dockers must hate that too.
By the way, let's talk up my preseason premier.
Yeah, bounce back. Yeah, yeah, give you that.
So how concerned should we be about the Western Bulldogs? And let's talk Clayton Oliver up. What a great performance. Great scenes, leaving the ground, hugging his coach, giving Max Gorn a high five.
Heartwarming, wasn't it? Heartwarming.
And I loved the language after the game too. It was, do you think that you've rewarded your teammates or something along those lines? And he said, nah, long way to go. I love that language. He's switched on. So
yeah, he made so much difference. Max Gorn was BAG probably, but...
How much of a difference does it make to that midfield? Because Petraka can get forward if he wants to.
29 from him.
But you know what the big thing for them was Ben Brown. And where has he been? Because he just straightens them up, doesn't he?
You know what I couldn't work out is the Ruckman's this year, it's so strange. So last week, Gorney gets towed by Grundy. This week, Gorn comes out and absolutely towels Timmy English. Like the way, the body work too. Like
Did they catch him a bit? Did Grundy catch Gorn a bit by surprise with his tactics last week?
Yeah, well, that's what happened to Tim English as well. Mm. Like, the way they use their body... I don't know what's going on there, but Gorn bounced back, and he'll get 3 votes for that game, I reckon.
Absolutely. As I said, Oliver Petraka, May was back to his best down back, and Billings looks like he's been a good pickup. What about the Dogs?
It's a worry, isn't
it? You know, it all seems to rest with Bontempelli and Liberatore and Treloar, and I don't know, mate, they need those middle-tier players to take a step up now, and, I mean, they've got some talent down there, you know, Jamara Ugalhagen. Where do you play Norton? Is he a defender? Is he a forward? Where do you play him?
What's going on with Norton? I mean, he signed that 7-year deal. Mm-hmm. So Tim English, do you sign him for 7 years as well?
Well, I think Tim English is going to just wait and see what's out there.
Bulldogs were minus...
He's happy over in Melbourne, but just see what's coming.
They got pantsed in the air. How's our man going from the Dockers?
Oh, Rory Lobb.
Yeah.
Not too well.
What's that? Mate.
So I just think...
That... Hang on, you've got to get a bit into Rory Lobb, don't you? You've got to slip into him a little bit. Mm. I mean, honestly, they were minus 42 in marks, thoroughly beaten in the air, particularly uncontested as well. And Melbourne just controlled the game. The Dogs scoring dried up after quarter time. They matched the inside 50s and contested possessions, but they just didn't look like it.
If you surrender the midfield... That is the hardest defence to play against Mel. If the game is on Melbourne's terms, then they're going to force dirty ball into the opposition forward line, and that's where Melbourne's at its best, and that's what happened at the weekend. So you got, you know, it's just
is Bevo under the pump or what?
Oh, not with two round, well, one game in. I keep saying two, but it's only one. No, I don't think so yet, but we'll see. If they hit the mid season turn and they're look, it's looking dire for them. Yeah, I'd suggest he would be.
Well, I can't see him coming to Fremantle then.
Now, let's just go through the other games. Gold Coast and Adelaide. That was a strange old game, Barra. Inclement weather up there. Matt Rowell at his brutal best. But Adelaide, you know, stormed home with 5-1 in the last quarter and lost by a kick in the end. You looked at that game and it was like, well, this is just meandering into a comfortable Gold Coast victory. And then... So should we be more concerned about where was Adelaide for 3 quarters or the Suns last quarter?
Yeah, well, what do you say?
I think we should be more concerned about where Adelaide were for 3 quarters and then all of a sudden they go, you know, they 1 goal at half time, 3 to 3-quarter time, and then they kick 5. I just can't work out Adelaide at the moment. I think Gold Coast is showing, you know, a little bit of Dimmer Hardwick, starting to... The fruits of their recruiting. I mean, there's a lot of youth talent in there, and they've got a terrific number of midfielders. So I think Gold Coast is showing us that they're going to be every bit a final eight contender this year.
Mm.
Yeah, win those games when you have to.
It was weird not playing Taylor Walker, wasn't it? I know they said
Tex was out injured, wasn't he?
He said he had a back issue.
Yeah, well, he's not weird playing, but
but it was about travel, wasn't
it? That's the other thing, mate. Is the reliance too heavy on him?
Mm, and Riley. Phil Thorpe is out at the moment as well. Rory Laird was good. Crouch, Riley O'Brien. But, yeah, with Gold Coast, they're looking the goods at the moment, you'd have to say, wouldn't you?
Well, for the eight, they are. Geelong St Kilda, I love that little bit of Dangerfield, Barra, at the end there. He kicks the goal and then turns around and there's no real genuine, come on, boys. It's like they're all getting around him because they'd won the game, but he was like, hang on, fellas, there's 30 seconds or whatever to go here. Let's just... focus on what we need to do. I thought St Kilda were pretty good. left it a little late, but I thought they were pretty good. It's a hard ground to play, Barra, you know, with those long wings. And you see players getting pushed out of bounds a lot. What were your memories of Cadinia Park? Do you play there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very, I mean, it's a bit different in those days. But that, how good does the stand look now too with the
40,000.
The new Joel Selwood.
I heard an interesting point from Billy Brownless. He was saying back in the day, you'd have about 100 opposition fans there in the terraces. Now you've got like 5,000. And he said you can actually hear the opposition fans for the first time at that ground. So while it's a magnificent stadium and you can probably play finals there now, and certainly more, you know, key big marquee matches, but you're sort of losing a little bit, tiny bit of that parochialism in the terraces. But look,
I've done a great job, Brian Cook and everybody else that's started that process. But now the stadium, it's magnificent, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, they found one I think he was a mid-season draft pick in Ollie Dempsey. Geez, a good player.
Yeah. Now, he got the Rising Star nomination.
Yep.
Deserved. He stepped up in a big way. Kicked three goals as well. Cameron, fantastic. Dangerfield just doesn't get old. The Saints, though, the inside 50s was 63-44, so they still got pummeled there. Mitchie Owens looked great. But I thought Brad Hill really struggled. He only had 12 touches.
Yep.
It says here Lance Collard, no possessions.
He came on, it was the sub, came on very late. I think it was maybe even early last quarter.
30% of the game.
What'd you make of Liam Henry? Gave him a bit, I thought.
Yeah, he was all right. How long since they've won down there?
It's a bit tough. Oh, it's 1999, I think, was their last win there. It's tough going down there. They have coughed up games there in recent years, but look, you know, I don't know. Oh, by the way, Jeremy Cameron, goal of the year after round one?
Mate, he's great.
How good was that goal?
He is great. Just how far can they go, you reckon, Geelong?
Nah, not for me. I haven't got them.
Finals?
Top four. Yeah, well, they can make finals, yeah. But I haven't got them top four. Hey, the last one I want to talk about is my boys, 11-17. So more scoring shots, six more short scoring shots than Essendon, 17-5. But Archie Perkins into the midfield, they've just shaken things up a bit, Brad Scott, and they look okay, Essendon.
Zach Merritt was great, 31 possessions. Ben Mackay, he was terrific on your man Mitch Lewis, kept him to one goal.
Yep.
I think...
he's a good, great defender.
Would he say that's the first time he's won two games in a row since he's been playing?
Right?
So he was pretty excited. They had their kicking boots on. They kicked straight.
So Mackay said that.
Yeah.
So when was his first game?
Isn't that their second match?
No. Did they win final round last year in North Melbourne?
They must have.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, geez, he's got a good memory, hasn't he? What did you think about your boys?
It's going to be a struggle in the back line. Sicily is challenging that, by the way. That kicking, I'm not sure if he gets off that. That looked pretty much like a kick to me. The AFL don't like it. I don't like it. It's in the middle of a melee, but don't do it. And don't get sucked in. He got sucked in early.
But I heard Robbo off
his Guelphy.
Head. In Melbourne, Robbo was going off his head about that.
Saying what?
He was saying, you know, that's one of the worst offences in footy, kicking. It's like biting. And
I don't think it was a really nasty kick.
When you look
at it,
it was like a brush.
Deserves a week, mate. You can't do that. Yeah, don't put your foot
But they're
out.
Challenging it, aren't they, tonight?
Yeah, they'll challenge. They have to, but he deserves a week for that. And you know what? Don't get sucked in. This is like the Sicily from 3 years
ago.
The
guy charged at him.
Yeah.
I loved how he went low and flipped him.
Yeah.
But he just didn't need to push the leg out, I suppose.
That's right.
But it didn't look like it was much in it.
No, there wasn't, Barra, but you still don't do it. So I think he deserves a week.
You found one with Massimo D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Actually an Essendon player last year. So
29 disposals, 11 intercept possessions, cross half back. Jack Ginnivan, he looked all right too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it was a pretty hot day in Melbourne. Why the long sleeves?
He's making a statement. Mabia Chol, he was kicked two goals as well.
Yeah, but look,
missing Will Day.
Good signs. Got beaten up in the midfield though, Barra.
Mm.
Clearance and stoppage, which is unlike Hawthorn. So that's an area that I reckon that they'll be looking at seriously. But
they kicked 17 behind.
Yeah.
So Essendon kicked 17-5 and they kicked 11-17. So there's a story right there, isn't there?
There is, mate. Now, it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Thank you to Thirsty Camel. Buy a specially marked pack and enter to win a super weekender. of Hahn, 3.5% 30-pack cans, only $55.99 a block. This week, Barra, again, we have a $50 gift voucher to give away thanks to Thirsty Camel. Mm-hmm. Get your questions into Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. This one from Michelle. Hi, Quarters and Barra. Is it a coincidence that Justin Longmuir's contract extension is the same as Fremantle's 2021 to 2025 strategic plan? The truth is out there. Barra?
Yeah, well, give me your thoughts first.
I was a little surprised by the timing of the announcement, but if Justin's happy and Freo are happy, then we should be happy if he's got his contract extension.
So, I thought he explained it really well.
Yeah, I think so.
Where was it on radio or somewhere where he said he's got rid of that six-month trigger? So what that in the AFL now, as you know, you could have a five-year deal, but you only get paid out 6 months.
But you know what, Barra?
It makes you think, what's a five-year worth to you? You know what I mean?
But you and I and every other commentator in Australia can have their 2 cents worth. But at the end of the day, the currency that will help Justin Longmuir forge ahead is the W's.
And
win games of footy, play finals, and then none of it means anything.
But full credit to him, but doing the righty. He could have held on for the five-year deal and tried to get that trigger taken out as well, which Simo doesn't have, by the way. Mm. So that played a role in Simo staying, didn't it? Because there was a full payout for West Coast, the full $2 million, which they obviously didn't want to do. Do you think Simo will get tired of this development role and not actually, because he's a very competitive man. He's got to be a special person just to coach a team, knowing that there's no way.
Is it a bit of a holding pattern for the next person to come along? At the moment, it's a bit of no man's land. Why would you put a new coach into that situation? I guess there's a bit of that about it. But, yeah, I think it would test anyone's patience.
I suppose they'll judge him on whether he's developing the young blokes.
Mm.
You know, if he's bringing,
that's right.
If he's bringing on Chester.
Well, it's about the metrics, and I don't care what anyone says, but it's about the percentage column on the ladder.
Mm.
If that improves, it shows you're going in the right direction. They can't have the 100-point losses.
So does he get a
can't
tick?
Happen.
So does he get a tick for round one?
I think round one you give the whole squad a tick because they've gone on the road against a side expected to be top four. You never should be happy with a 50-point loss ever. But I think if you look at the contest, I think there's going to be some heavy losses this year and we'll get into them, make no mistake. But if they can produce that sort of, I mean, they were still sort of had some skin in the game at three quarter time, and you wouldn't have said that last year, would you, in most of those sorts of games?
No, that's true.
So that's the thing.
You weren't completely, you know, down the shops or
was round
the telly
one.
Off
so you've got to be
time.
Up. You've got to be up and about, mate. Round one. If you're not enthusiastic and energetic in round one, you never will be. I think the key to them will be 10, 11 rounds in. You know, when they're just, it's just that meaty part of the season when, you know, the other teams
starts
are
getting
up and about.
Cold.
Yeah, all of that.
You're on the bottom.
Yep.
And that's what I'm saying
about
the
bottom,
what does Simo think, you know, like.
That's hard work. This one from Harley Kemp Gin from WA, an all-round footy tragic and mediocre tipster, he says, calls himself. Hey, gents, I am so excited for the Devils to come into the comp. I think they missed a trick with a jumper. The old school Tassie map has a bit of GC17 vibe, although I understand the homage to history. He's provided two alternatives, basically both of them with the Tassie Devils face.
Bursting out of the Tasmanian, out of the map of Tassie.
But I think the way I look at it, isn't it just, you love that phrase, isn't it just a jumper for the first couple?
Yeah, it's a foundation jumper. So, I don't think that's been explained well that they basically had to go with that, didn't they? That's their traditional jumper. And they
Most Tasmanians have that jumper in there because it was the old State of Origin jumper.
Yep.
So, and it's the under-18s jumper.
So they're not going to be playing in that all the time. That's just their foundation jumper. There'll be two other jumpers produced and they'll be the jumpers they're wearing most of the time. On special occasions, they'll wear the foundation jumper with the yellow map of Tassie on it.
I like it. I've got to say, I really like it. I do.
Yeah. I think they need to get the devil on there.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a devil on there somewhere.
Said you like that jumper.
I
hasn't
do
got
love
the devil
it. Well,
on
you put it in the corner or something.
Yeah, they need to just maybe bursting out of the map of Tassie. That'd be good. The $10 foundation membership, 70-odd thousand already. I had a look because I've joined up.
Oh, good on you.
I've had a look at what
join.
I got, and I got access to merchandise via my digital card.
Yep.
I got a couple of stickers coming my way, and I will get my name I presume it'll be in some sort of brick or something at the new training facility.
Nice.
So 70,000 people have already done that. So, you know, Barra or whatever I choose will be put on the, on the ground around.
And to everyone else.
70,000, the rest of us. $10.
What about Warner Brothers? So the AFL has contacted Warner Brothers. Obviously, they have the Tassie Devil is one of their beloved characters in Looney Tunes. And they've said, look, toing and froing. And then it wasn't until the AFL told them, you know that Tassie Devil is an actual thing. And they were like, what? It exists? Are you serious? Yes, it's a much...
The bloke who invented it didn't tell us that.
So it sort of got them over the line. So once they realised it was actually...
They couldn't take ownership of a bloody animal anyway, could they?
You ever seen one in the wild?
No, I haven't, mate.
Oh, they're vicious.
Are they?
Yeah, there's a place called...
You didn't see a tiger, did you? Tasmanian tiger.
No, unfortunately, I didn't, mate. But there's a place called Cradle Mountain, which is fantastic place.
There's Cradle Mountain. But really?
What they do is they have this... at night they have a lodge there, and at night they have the floodlights, they have a feeding platform where they put all these rotten vegetables out on it.
Yeah.
And you have all the wild animals coming out. You see the occasional Tassie Devil, they're nocturnal animals. They're quite vicious.
No, I'm pretty sure you've told me this story.
You don't want to go and pat them.
You've seen them though, haven't you?
Yeah.
With your own eyes.
I have.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
piddly though, aren't they? Like a pug size.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
But they could nip your ankle or something.
They're not very happy. They're not very happy.
Mate, better than a bloody jack jumper ant.
They look like the emblem that they're suggesting, you know?
Just one thing, the demons versus the devils.
It's all right. Really? You're worried about it?
It's not very Christian, is it?
Oh, I think there's bigger issues.
Because, I just think in the modern world, because I know from my own experience being the Perth demons that. Yes.
You think it's
some
negative.
Of our community is not actually that au fait with.
You think it's a bit of a negative?
Well, I'm telling you. So part of our community, some of the religious areas, are not keen on the demon.
Okay.
And I've had people ring me up, like an imam rang me and said, look, I'm not sure if my son can play.
Are you serious? You had an imam ring you?
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, why is that a surprise?
Oh, I just think it's about the demons.
Yeah, well, you can't have your son playing for the demons, can you, if you're a spiritual or religious person?
Okay.
So the devils is opening up the whole... You'll have to say it's an animal or something, eh? Whereas we can't say that. The demon's not an animal.
Well, it is a... Tassie Devil is an
animal. I know. That's what I just said, mate. I said...
Marsupial.
Are you listening?
It's a marsupial.
But I can't say that, can I?
No, you can't.
So I haven't got that escape clause.
I think we can live with the two. This one from Daniel. Hi, lads. As always, love the content. Just noted the pod fell short last week to 40 minutes.
Exactly.
Would love to hear more footy talk. Maybe if you're cutting back on Barra's waffle, could we include more waffle that expand beyond the Perth Demons? We will do our best, Daniel. Love your work and looking forward to the analysis Tuesday night. Fremantle's effort was awesome. Looking ahead, who may plug the gaps from injuries? Do we think Draper is a chance for debut? Well, we have addressed that. We do think he is a chance.
I like Draper.
I think we're both big fans of him.
Unit.
You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thank you, Barra. Thank you for listening. Well done if you got lots of tips right last weekend. We will talk to you on Thursday as we preview round 2.